This past week, as I was reading and thinking upon the various subjects throughout scriptures, the thought of Jesus calling us was in my mind, and how the Lord calls. He calls us, and he calls us unto him. And all of us received this call, and my thoughts were, how do we respond to his invitation, to his call to him? Is it precious to us? Does it mean anything? And how do we respond? And I thought of John, the Gospel of John in chapter 5 and verse 40, where it says, "And you will not come to me that you might have life." So there are those who just aren't interested at all, and they won't come, because they're too caught up in life and in the pursuits of pleasing the flesh. And so they have no interest. And he says, "You will not come to me that you might have life." And then we know that Jesus also says, "Come unto me, ye that are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give rest." So there are those who are burdened, who are restless, who know that there is a God who is holy and just, and he has demands upon his creation, and they seek about to do that which is good, or and struggle against the flesh, but haven't yielded themselves fully unto Jesus. And my thought came to Cornelius as being perhaps that one man as an example. And that's what prompted me and brought me to this portion of scripture. I thought I was just going to read Peter's sermon to at Caesarea when he went there, but we missed it's too much to miss to not at least read the entire chapter and see what was taking place here. Cornelius is very familiar, I believe, with the God of Israel. He's heard of him. He's in Palestine. He's there. And it tells us that he was a devout man. He was one that feared God with all his house. And it says he gave much alms. And prayed to God always. So he was searching. And we have to consider now, here's a man who, the Bible tells us that unless you are born again and you are a believer and you are a man of faith who has given your heart and life unto the Lord Jesus, you cannot do anything for him. There's nothing that is acceptable that you can do that God will say, "Thank you," or that God would be pleased and to give you a reward for that which you have done. If that's what you're looking for, you're not going to get it. The scripture makes that very clear. So you can't work for your salvation. There's nothing that you can do short of giving your heart unto the Lord, and that is what the Lord is seeking. Anything less than that will bring nothing. So, but yet we see here Cornelius, a man who is a devout man, who gave much alms, and he prayed always. And it says here that an angel comes down. And he tells him, "Thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before God." So notice, this isn't the man who is said by Jesus, "I would that you would come to me, but you would not." This is one who Jesus is saying to Cornelius, "Come to me. I will give you that burden that you have. I will give you rest." The prayers and the alms that he was offering was not for his salvation. It doesn't tell us that, but it was a memorial. It was an evidence of a faith that he has. He wanted God. He wanted him, but he didn't know him fully. And God will see to it that any man who has a sincere desire in his heart to come to him, God will see to it that that man gets fed and that the Holy Spirit will have his free work in that heart, as we see here in the heart of Cornelius. And so the prayers are come up as a memorial before God, and he tells him and instructs him, send men to Joppa, call on Simon, whose surname is Peter. And he gives the exact details. The angel tells him where Peter is, where he's lodging with another man that's called Simon, who's a tanner. His house is by the sea. He gives him all the directions, everything that he needs to know. And he departs. An angel who Cornelius does not know, Peter, but Peter is known in heaven. Peter is the servant of the Most High, is an apostle of Jesus Christ, one who has received the commandment to preach the word in season and out of season, preach the gospel, call the lost. And we read in the beginning of the chapters in the Acts of the Apostles of the sermons that Peter had preached, and thousands have come to believe in Jesus through the simple preaching of Jesus. And so Peter, who is known in heaven, an angel comes to, he doesn't go to Peter, he goes to Cornelius. And he tells him, go send a group of men over to Peter and call him unto you. And listen to everything that he has to say to you. And this is, he says, he will tell you the things that you ought to do. In other words, your prayers, you're praying, you're giving of alms, you're doing what you know, but you're lacking. And I'm going to send you Peter, and he's going to tell you what you ought to do. And so, what camp are we in? Are we in the camp that we want God? We want him with all that we want? Or are we of the camp that is, I'm comfortable coming, listening, hearing about Jesus, in and out? Yeah, that's a simple story. I've heard that a million times. Because the message that Peter preached here in these few verses is very short, but it's very profound to one who seeks him. It's not a profound message to one who Jesus says, I would that you would come to me, but you would not. It's not profound at all. It's actually quite meaningless. It means nothing to him. And so what camp are we in? One that doesn't want God? Ye would not. But ye would not. In other words, you don't want me. Are you in that camp? Are you in the camp of Cornelius, who wants him but just doesn't know him yet? And is praying for revelation, praying to know him, giving of alms, not because, Lord, look, I've given this, now I'm good, right? No, that's not why. He's doing it because there's a faith that is in him, and the evidence of that faith is being made manifest through his prayers, through his alms, not saying, Lord, I did this, come on, give me my reward. Not at all. And so he goes, an angel is, or Peter is, the angel from heaven, think of this, is telling Cornelius, a Gentile, that a Jew is going to come to you. And that and this Gentile knows that Jews cannot mix with Gentiles. It's forbidden. You can't come to him. And he says, go call him, and he's going to come, and whatever he tells you to do, do it. And so we see that this happened. Peter then, in preparation, the Spirit of God doesn't leave Peter in the dark. The Spirit of God, who is working with Cornelius, is working with Peter too. And he tells him, as he is on his house stop, praying. It tells us the Spirit records here at exactly what hours they are both praying. And he's very hungry and he's in a trance. And he sees heaven opened. We see the story here. A vessel descending unto him. Great sheet knit at four corners, let down to the earth. All manner of four-footed beasts and so on. And it says, Peter, rise. Peter, kill and eat. Peter says, no. That's unclean. I'm a Jew. I can't eat that. And the Lord is preparing him. He doesn't tell him in detail that, hey, Peter, go to Cornelius and don't look at him as unclean. No, he's going to show him through this vision exactly what he will teach him. And he tells him, Lord, I've never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice speaks unto him for the second time, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This is done three times, it says. Vessel is removed or received up into heaven. And Peter now, it tells us, is doubting himself what this vision meant. And at that same hour, he's being called. Get thee down. He said, three men are coming to seek you. They're coming to seek you. Go, arise, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Imagine being Peter. You're praying as you pray, and you see this vision. You're being told to do something that you're thinking, as a Jew, I'm not allowed to do. And God is telling you, don't call that unclean that which I have cleansed. And suddenly he's being told, hey, I've sent three men to you. Go wherever they tell you to go. Don't doubt anything. And Peter goes. Peter obeys. Obedience. And so he goes and he's told here, then, you know, we hear in quite detailed, which we don't need to go back over that again, the details of which Peter is told to go and to visit Cornelius. And as he comes to his house, it tells us here that in verse, 26 or 25, it says, Peter is coming in, Cornelius meets him. And he falls down at his feet and worships him. And Peter's almost embarrassed by this. He says, I'm just a man. He says, stand up. You don't worship me. And as he talked with him, he went in with him and found many. So Cornelius calls all his kinsmen, all his family, everyone that he knows, and his friends. There's a lot of people here gathered together. And Peter comes into this place. He doesn't know why he's sent yet. And so Cornelius tells him, or before he does that, Peter tells him, you know that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or to come unto one of another nation, but God showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. So Peter's already put this together. This is a Gentile that he's being called to go to. He saw the vision. He's being called. The Lord told him, go. And so he's already learned something here. So he's in obedience. He's learning. And he says, therefore I came unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore, now I'm here, I ask you, why did you send for me? And Cornelius says, gives him the story in details again, tells him that his prayers and alms are coming to remembrance in the sight of God, and go send Peter. And so he tells him here, immediate therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. So Cornelius just says, this is what happened. You're here now. Whatever God commanded you, speak. We're all here to listen. It's just such a wonderful story when you just try to envision all of this taking place simultaneously. The Spirit of God is moving in the hearts of different men who gathered large crowds together in anticipation of an event that is just climatic, something that has not happened before. And they're all in obedience to the leading of the Spirit of God. Here's a man who had prayers, who had alms being given to the people who had needs and so on. His heart was right with God, but he needed to be made right through the cleansing of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And God was not going to leave him. And so Peter now hears this, and what does Peter do? He preaches nothing less than Jesus Christ. And he tells him, Peter opens it, and it tells us Peter opens his mouth and says, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. He says, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. Jesus Christ was not foreign to the Jew. He is spoken of in all of the Old Testament. The Jews just didn't accept him. But God has spoken through the prophets to the nation of Israel for centuries. And said, lastly here, he came unto the children of Israel preaching peace. Peace by Jesus Christ. And Cornelius, you can have that peace also. But it's only through Jesus Christ. There's no other way. Your alms won't bring you peace. Your prayers and your devotions won't bring you peace unless your heart is cleansed by the precious blood of Jesus. And so as he goes on, it says, that word I say ye know, which was published throughout all of Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. And so Peter is telling Cornelius, I know you know this because this is published throughout all of Judea. Jesus was not unknown. All of Palestine knew him, heard of him, heard of his preaching, his teaching, heard of the wonderful things which Peter is now telling him, I am a witness of these things. I'm a personal witness of these things. And if Peter could say, I'm a witness, he lived in a time when there were still many witnesses that could say, yes, this is true what Peter is saying. This isn't speaking after everyone is dead and now Peter alone is saying, I am the only one that has ever seen him. No. He's saying this at a time which it could have been very easily, if it wasn't true, to be said so. But he says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So he's saying, who is this Jesus? Jesus anointed by the Holy Ghost with power, who went about doing good. This is all that Jesus did. Everything he did was good. He healed all that were oppressed of the devil. God was with him. He says, we are witnesses of all these things which he did in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, who they slew and hanged on the tree. And Cornelius knows that the Jews were, their method of putting someone to death was by stoning. The Romans did it by putting him on a cross. And so both were guilty of putting Jesus to death. He says, him God raised up. And this is really the gospel. He says, him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. Again, he's saying, I ate and I drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he said, he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. This is the message that Peter brought to Cornelius. This is it. Are we moved by this, by these 10 verses or so? 9 verses? Cornelius was. Big time. He heard about Jesus. And he heard that I can have remission of sins. All of my sins, God who is now made, who ordained of God, that he has ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and dead. I can stand before him, this judge. I can stand before him and not be guilty. What do I have to do? And so we look at the earlier part. He says, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. So who is Jesus to us? Who is this God that we serve? You know, we think of the heathen nations in the scriptures who had formed their own gods out of wood and stone and gold and precious metals and so on. They formed gods, and we know that there's nothing in that. Nothing. But then what is the God that we serve? Have we formed a new God? Because the God who we serve has to be Lord of all in my heart. If not, then I've created a God. I've created a God that isn't the God of the New Testament, the God of the Old Testament, the God who the heavens are ringing, holy, holy, holy is he. The God who tells us who cannot have sin in his presence. Who is the God that I serve or that I've created in my own heart and mind? Oh, God will overlook these things. God knows I'm weak. God knows everything. And I can just go on and sin and live in sin and accept and embrace certain sins and say that I am not strong enough because I'm just in the flesh right now. I will be made perfect later. And I willingly live in sin. Then I'm serving the same God as the gods that are made out of stone and gold and wood. It's the same. So Christendom does have false gods that they serve. If you don't embrace Jesus Christ as Lord of all in your heart, you've not embraced him at all. He is Lord not at all. He has to be at all. And this is the message that Peter preached. And it tells us here that when Peter spoke these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. Why did the Holy Ghost fall on them? And he doesn't fall on me and you perhaps sometimes. Why? Is the Holy Ghost, is he falling on you? And you say, well, what do you mean? Well, is it creating within me now? Wait a minute. I read these words. This is the word that Peter preached to a Gentile who heard and believed and was baptized. Why am I not going to be baptized? Why am I not going to believe? Why is the Holy Spirit? Then what am I going to do? Blame the Holy Spirit? No. These men were ready. They were ready to hear the word. Cornelius called them and told them, listen, here's what's going on. Come and listen. They wanted to hear. Why? Because they know there's a day of judgment coming. They heard of it. They believe it. They believe it to be true. And there's a way that is being given for them to come out of that. And so they heard these things and they believed. And when they believed, the Holy Ghost fell upon them. He moved. The Spirit of God is doing exactly what he is sent to do. He shows us who Jesus Christ is. He shows us the way of salvation. And our faith must be in the one who died for us. He is Lord of all, preaching peace by Jesus and none other. And Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me, by him. Don't change him. Don't change him into a sin-loving God. Don't change him. Accept him as he is, which means you have to change. I have to change. We're the ones that have to change, not God. Because you change him, you're serving a God made out of wood and stone. Same thing. And so it tells us here, they were astonished then. As many as it came with Peter, those the Jews, they couldn't believe what they saw. They saw the evidence of the Spirit of God fall upon them, change them. And he says, they said, because that on the Gentiles also is poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is what Peter was shown. The Gentiles and the Jews, that wall between them is torn down. There is no more difference. The Gentile doesn't need to be circumcised. Imagine if Peter said to them, you must be circumcised. They'd all been crushed. He taught them Jesus, not a law. He taught them Jesus, not a law. And so it says when they magnified God, and then Peter says, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. What a powerful, powerful event that had taken place here. And we read about it in this chapter. It's extremely familiar, I believe, to all of us. But I believe what the Lord is showing each of us today is, who is the Lord? Is he Lord of all? Is he the one whom we crown? You know, we love that hymn 320 in our Zion's heart, and crown him Lord of all. You have to crown him. If you don't, he's not your Lord. He's the judge of the quick and the dead, and you will stand before him not knowing him. This is what this Gentile company of Cornelius's feared, that they would stand before him and not know him. And so today we heard of Jesus, but what does it prompt in our hearts? What does it do? Am I so caught up in the desires of the flesh, the pursuits in this life, that are so attractive to me that Jesus is not attractive? If Jesus is attractive, those things fall off. Fall off. Paul says they fall off. We have to believe that. They fall off. It's not attractive anymore. And so what is attractive to us? If it's Jesus, as Peter says, who then can say that these men cannot be baptized? When we receive him into our hearts, he will change us. But we have to want that change as Cornelius wanted it long ago. And God did that perfect work in time to save him. Will we make ourselves and our hearts available to the moving and the power of the Spirit of God? May he bless his word upon our hearts in this evening. Amen.